So we thank you, Lord, for this moment when we can stand under your word and, Lord, take it to heart. We ask that your spirit move here tonight to allow us to receive more fully everything you want. We praise your name. I mentioned that it's the Feast of the Lateran Basilica, and it's a feast when we look at the church, which is a great gift to us, and seek the renewal of the church and want to see that happen in the church worldwide. Well, recently, Pope Francis was speaking to the Assembly of Charismatic Renewal people in Rome, 53,000 of them in a big soccer stadium. And he said to them that by God's will and by his sheer gift, he has brought to the church this whole experience of the charismatic renewal. And he said that it's like a current of grace, like a stream of grace that's gone through the whole church. And he wanted to see it go further. He said, I want you to take the baptism of the Holy Spirit to every Catholic. So we've got the commission from the Pope. That's what we're doing in this time, inviting you to come into this stream of grace and to plunge ever more deeply into it. And what a beautiful text we had there from Ezekiel 47, where Ezekiel has the image of a spring bursting forth in the temple, and then it flows out and becomes a stream. And at first he can just sort of wade in it, but then it gets bigger and it gets deeper, and then it's up to his waist, and then it gets even bigger and deeper again, so much that he can't even cross it. It's become a huge river. And there's an image, my friends, of the spring of God's Spirit breaking forth within the church in these days and spreading out and deepening as it does so and taking everybody with it. And we are meant to plunge into that stream, because where that stream flows and where that river flows, the river of the Spirit, there's a lot of vegetation. It's very fruitful. And it flows out into the Arabah in the image. And the Arabah is actually the most arid place in the world. But what he sees in the image is that it's bringing fertile, it's bringing life. And there's fish galore in this river. And it flows into the sea, which is the Dead Sea. And if anyone's been to the Dead Sea, it's really dead. There's no life there at all. But in the image, it flows into the sea and it's full now of fish, and there's vegetation grows up all around it and everything. It's a beautiful image of what the Spirit will do within the life of the church if we're open to it, and we'll plunge into that river of life. It's the river of life that gladdens the city of God, it says in the responsorial psalm. And in the second reading, we're reminded that you are the temple. You, the church, is the temple, the people, not the building. But we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives within you. And so with the Holy Spirit within us, we just simply have to let the Spirit break out a bit. As it were, like in the desert, when water is found, a spring comes up somewhat unexpectedly. It's an image that's used right through sacred scripture. A surprise of God, a surprise of the Holy Spirit breaking forth, right, in the desert and bringing vegetation, a whole new life. And that's what God wants to do within us if we allow him. You remember in John 7 where Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. That anyone, you know, who is believes in me, let him drink deeply. And so we're to drink deeply of the life-giving waters that come from Christ himself. And John goes on to say, you know, speaking about the fountain that would flow from the side of Christ. And he's raised up on the cross for our sake. The Holy Spirit. And so we come to this Eucharist and we come to drink deeply from the Holy Spirit flowing from the pierced side of Christ, whose love was such that he took upon himself all the sin of the world, weighed down by that, was broken open on the cross for our sake when that sword went through his side. And from this flows our life. We can draw strength and vitality and fruitfulness from this living stream that flows from the heart of Christ. In the gospel, it connects up with the temple because Jesus is in the temple and he says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they thought he meant the physical building. He's talking about his own body, John tells us. That yes, his body would be put on that cross, but it would be raised up in 3 days. Jesus, the temple. And now he makes us the temple. By the Spirit living within us, he's poured out his Spirit for us. And so, my friends, we must plunge into this stream, this river of grace that's upon us in these days, and not hold back. You see, I used to be a person who held back from this river of grace. I was the sort of person who, we used to go swimming as kids down in the stream, you know, and I'd wait. Everybody else would jump in. But I'd wait. I'd say, what's it like in there? Oh, it's cold, but it's good. Oh, I think I'll stay out in the sun for a while longer. And then I put my toe in. And, oh, yeah, it's not too bad. But and then someone eventually has to sort of push me in. Well, that's where we're about here. We're going to push you into the stream of grace. Gently, of course. That you'll actually take that step to plunge into the water of God, the grace of God, the life of the Spirit, not to be afraid to do that. Because you see, it's all about love. And today we're meant to be in the first part of the life of the Spirit, thinking about the love of God. Well, Paul says the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when we allow the Spirit to break forth within us, we just get filled with love. It's what the world needs most, but it's what the world holds out against, because most of us have hard hearts. Like that Samaritan woman that came to the well, remember? And Jesus gets talking with her, and he says, if only you knew what God was offering you, you would have been the one to ask for the living water. Not the water from this well. But if you were to ask, there'd be a well given to a spring within you that would well up to eternal life. That's the promise of Jesus to each of us. That there will be a spring breaking forth within you, welling up to eternal life. And it's about love. You see, we are so love poor. I feel terribly love poor. I live with brothers, you know, and that shows up my lack of love. Because I get irritated at times. I get judgmental. I get critical. You ever experience that? Yeah, we do, don't we? Because we're love poor. Our hearts shrink up. And we can't find within ourselves the capacity to love. Like we know we need to love. But when you plunge yourself into this stream of grace, when you allow yourself to be just consumed by the love of God, And saturated with his love, immersed in his love, baptized in his love, then you find within yourself a whole new capacity to love. It's amazing how it happens. You're not so critical anymore. You're not so judgmental. You're not so envious of other people and jealous of other people. But you can let it go more. The more we allow the love of God to saturate us and take us more deeply into him. We become like him to that extent. And if there's this resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness towards people, again, he melts the heart when we plunge into this stream of grace. You see, we're battling away, trying to make it happen ourselves. You get that feeling you can't put your life together, and there's certain things, relationships that are so broken, and I'm feeling so bad about that person, I'm angry at them, and how am I going to be set free? Through the love of God, allowing his love to go deeply into me, because without his love within me, I cannot love. I find myself without the power to love. But when I'm taken into the side of Jesus, who hung on that cross for you and for me, and allow the stream of grace to flow from his side, pierced on the cross, allow that stream to really come into me, and allow myself to be caught up in that stream, saturated, like Ezekiel, sort of, you know, immersed deeply into it, then I've got the new power to love. You see, many of us feel terribly unworthy before God. We find in our hearts that we've shrunken up somewhat because maybe we were mistreated as we were growing up or whatever. But we find that we have a low self-esteem and we don't feel very lovable. We don't feel very capable of loving others. And so consequently, our life can be a little miserable. But you see, when we open up to the love of God, this emptiness, this hole that's deep within the heart gets filled up by the Holy Spirit. And there's a new power within to be able to love. And that's what I find is the answer myself. I always go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't love. I open my heart to you. Saturate me with your Spirit. Give me the love I need. And then I know I can do it by your power and grace within me. You see, many of us have a wound of rejection deep within us where we were told by others that we're not worthwhile. We were probably, you know, pushed aside or teased and criticized by others as we were growing up or whatever. And there's a deep wound of rejection where I don't feel really acceptable before others. You know, thinking of a woman I know, Julia, who was like that. And she and her husband had just given up the faith because, you know, she realized later when she encountered the Lord that this was her problem, that she really didn't believe she was lovable. And she never believed really that her husband loved her either, even though he did. She couldn't really believe it. And so she had this disability deep within herself to be able to receive love. And so they tried everything. They went to Zen Buddhism and they did a bit of that sort of looking at crystals and things like that in the New Age. They went to a lot of places. But she said, every time I just felt really empty in my heart. There was something missing. And so she, through a number of connections, ended up at a charismatic weekend. And she didn't quite know why she was there, but she was there. There was a hunger within her. You see, anyone who thirsts, Jesus says, come to me. She was thirsting because she knew she needed more. And on this weekend, they prayed over her for the Holy Spirit, and she didn't feel much happening. But that night, when she went to bed, she was still at the conference place, she had all of a sudden come upon her a realization of her sinfulness and how she had turned away from God in the past. And she felt really rotten about herself because she read the passage of Judas betraying the Lord, and she felt, that's what I've done, I've betrayed him. And she started to go into a lot of self-condemnation and self-accusation, and she was going down into a pit. And then she was reminded by the Spirit that, remember Peter, he too denied the Lord, but he saw the merciful eyes of Jesus. Now she opened up that passage and she read that. And as she was reading that, she just fell to her knees and she just wept and wept and wept. And she cried out to the Lord, have mercy on me. And as she did, she said, I was just filled totally with love. His love just overwhelmed me. And she said, like, his love took over my life at that moment. Everything changed. And her story is like that, and she ended up bringing her husband to the Lord as well. And now they have a house of hospitality where they're always out welcoming people into their house because, you see, the love that she's experienced, she wants others to experience as well, to come into that ambit of God's immense love. So don't allow any sense of unworthiness or any sense of rejection to hold you back. Some of us, of course, have got resentment deep in the heart, bitterness towards a particular person or an institution, maybe even the church. And there may be good reasons why you have that within yourself. But that's crippling you if it remains there. But when the love of God touches the heart, He makes it possible for us to let it go. He makes it possible for us to forgive, which means to let go. Because Jesus, who hung on that cross for you and for me, He cried out when He had the most injustice done to Him that's ever been meted against any person, and He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so the love of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Nothing can come between us and the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ on the cross. He will make it possible for you to forgive. When you open your heart to Him, He'll melt your heart when it's hardened against that person. And if you've hardened your heart against one person, then you've hardened your heart against God. But He knows that. But He has not forgotten you. He is faithful. He's always there. And He'll come to you if you make the least opening for Him to come and allow yourself to be saturated with His love. Yes, it's a beautiful gift, this gift of the baptism in the Spirit, as we allow ourselves just to be saturated with love and receive a whole new power to love when we didn't think it was possible. Because as it says in Ephesians, His power at work within us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Remember that infinitely more. Infinitely more. That's the word of God. It's His promise to us. Infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. He can bring about that transformation in your life. That's what we're about. Let's plunge into the water of the Spirit of God. Let's not hold back. Just don't put your toe in. Not just up to your ankles. Not just even to your waist. Go right in and plunge into God's love. His love is immense. It's unconditional. It's complete. It's total. And His love is personal for you. And He will open your heart, enlarge your heart, and give you a new freedom to love. And that's what the world needs most, does it not? And bless His name.